Oh, there's Shadi. Great. Hi, Shadi.
Hi guys, sorry, I was just getting off my last
How
call.
are you? No problem. I know things are going smoothly in the airline industry, so.
Well, Congress just passed the $1.9 trillion package, and there's a piece in there for aviation, so we're very happy.
Oh yeah.
I think there's a piece in there for water customers too.
There is, yeah, for infrastructure as well.
Yeah. So we gotta check that out.
There's a couple pieces that could go to water.
Good.
Like this comes a
Okay, let's get started. I'm Sonny Papowski. I'm the chair of the Philadelphia Water, Sewer, and Stormwater Rate Board. I believe all five members of the Water Board are in attendance. Thank you all. So I could call the meeting to order. We have a pretty short agenda. Let's just start with the minutes from the last meeting. Those have been circulated with a correction from Rashea. Thank you, Rashea. And those have been, oh, I'm sorry. Hi, Marcy, how are you?
Marcy.
Okay, so the minutes of the last meeting have been circulated. Are there any additions or corrections to the minutes from any of the board members?
None here.
Okay.
None.
Okay. Can I get a ask for a motion to approve the minutes?
So moved.
Okay, Abby moves. A second?
Second.
Second. Tony, you got it. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, so the minutes of February 10th are approved, and you'll get those posted, right, Stephen? And
yep.
Thank you. Again, we're just trying to keep the board members and the major participants here up to date on the status of the rate proceeding. I can just start with what I'm aware of. We do have four virtual public input sessions scheduled for the afternoon and evenings of March 16th and March 18th. That is next Tuesday and Thursday. Those are starting at 1 p.m. and 6 p.m. Participants can take part, and I shouldn't use the word participant, anyone who's interested can take part either by Zoom on camera or by telephone through a number that has been provided. We've had a couple of people have signed up so far. I'm hoping that I know the Water Department has issued some public notices. I've gotten it through a couple different sources. Okay, Andre, is the department going to do any further public outreach in terms of letting the newspapers or radio stations know about the public inputs?
Yeah, we have ads running in the Tribune. That was yesterday. And today we have them in the Daily News, the Inquirer, Aldea. So we'll have ads, you know, beginning today for the print media. In addition to that, we have social media contacts and email contacts. We're doing a blast through our RCAS contacts, regular contacts we use for PWD meetings and folks that we interact with. And there may be other outreach also. I know there's a large list of customers that do business, e-business with us, pay their bills electronically. And we may be able to tap into those as well. So we are doing sort of a significant job in outreach.
Rob, you have anything to add on that point? Or?
We've developed several flyers and graphics that we have distributed both directly within our mini networks, as well as I'm looking at them now on our CLS Facebook, and it's getting shared. We're putting stuff out sort of every few days, a reminder just to try to make sure that if people are paying attention or looking, that they'll see it there near the top of our feed.
And that's it. I'm sorry.
I just had a quick question, if it's okay, Sonny.
Sure.
Is there any kind of coordinated effort? I know historically it would always be a question of city council to make sure that, you know, people are aware of this. A coordinated effort to make sure that they're aware so they can get their constituents the information as well.
It's my understanding that we've reached out, and I will confirm that we've reached out to city council members and that they know as well. And of course, we're posting at the Rayport website, our own website, and a lot of creative ways from a lot of younger folks who know social media. And it's just sort of amazing all the things they're doing.
Yeah. Cool. Okay.
Yeah. Thanks, Rashea, for bringing that up. I had forgotten that. Of course, in the past, we'd asked city council members in particular if they would like, you know, if they wanted to have public inputs in their districts. But of course, these are all being virtual, but we certainly need to let Andre, we have to make sure that city council members have all been advised of these public inputs. So,
okay, I will confirm that.
Yeah, thanks, Andre.
I've actually shared it with several staff members of city council as well and asked that they distribute it, our version of the flyers and stuff like that.
Marcy, did you have anything else to add, at least with respect to the starting with the public input sessions?
No, I think everybody's put a lot of work into making sure that there's a lot of outreach and that when we hold them, since this is the first time that certainly I've ever done a Zoom public hearing, that they go smoothly. We had a practice session. And I have to say, I didn't realize how complicated it was to post this on the website. There's been a big issue about the time, the ending, showing the ending time and being accurate about how to participate. I know that the public advocate and the rate board itself, we've developed guidelines that are posted for people to know how to be productive in using their time. And hopefully that will help. I mean, it's the same process, I think, in terms of public inputs, and people are probably used to it with respect to PICO and PGW. They may not be familiar with doing it through Zoom, although I think utilities in Philadelphia have been doing that. So hopefully there is at least some level of familiarity with the technology involved. But we're trying to make it as open and transparent and welcoming as possible.
So, you know, so if any of the board members want to, you know, listen in, that's you're certainly welcome to do that. So not required, but if you want to listen in to any of the sessions, you can do so, and the instructions are all on our website under meetings and hearings. I'll ask Dan, did you have anything else to add on terms of the public inputs, Dan?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Okay, Marcy, then I'll ask you, do you have anything else you want to report in terms of progress on the rate proceeding?
Well, as I think everyone's aware, we adopted an actual schedule. And we will have to plug in specific hearing days, but otherwise the schedule itself is established. And I sent it to you. The hearings, I think, are expected in mid to the end of April, with an expectation that briefs will be filed the end of April. I'll have my report hopefully by the end of May, and then the board can start its deliberations and adopt an order so that the rates can be implemented on September 1st. I think the schedule is pretty established at this point, except for the specific days. It does incorporate a day of settlement discussions, so hopefully that'll be productive.
And what is our 120, I don't have it in front of me, the 120 day period ends, what is that, June 15th?
June 16th is our end date, and I, you know, have to count to see if that's either before the 120, but I think that is the 120 days.
Yeah, that's our target again for our statute. That's looks like a Wednesday. And then we, the board members, would have to meet in a public meeting like this one in advance of that meeting so that we can discuss the issues in public and vote on any contested issues, or for that matter, even if they're not contested, if we want to change something, we're entitled to do that. But that would be sometime during the first week or so of June, I believe. So we'll get specific dates as we get closer. And thanks again to Marcy for her leadership and steering the ship so far, and hopefully this virtual experiment will go smoothly. I did want to mention, and before I ask Andre and Rob to see if they have anything to add, and Ed also, the TAP rider proceeding will commence during the pendency of this proceeding. Those have been pretty straightforward in the past, at least the one we had, and maybe in the future, but that would be the advance notice, I believe, is March 15th.
That's correct. And we're on time.
Okay. And that usually, well, I shouldn't say usually, that has in the past only involved one brief hearing, but you know, we'll have to see what happens, if there's anything in that reconciliation filing that raises any questions. But the goal, I think, is to have that decided simultaneously, I think, with the general rate proceeding.
And our goal is also to try to sort things out so we can come up with a petition for settlement, and the hearing officer can approve that or pass it on.
Sure. Okay.
I did want to say something about the public hearings. Rob, for you in particular, if you come across anybody that needs interpretation or translation services, let us know as soon as possible. We'll try to work with you and make sure that everyone can participate.
Thanks. We will certainly do that. And I wanted to just also flag that it may be other members of my team who were at some of these as well, just to manage the flow. So I will be relaying all of this back to them. But I would expect you'll see some other folks on behalf of the public advocate through the course of these public hearings.
Okay. Just briefly call on Ed. Marcy did distribute Ed's model today to the participants. Thanks for all your work, Ed. And I believe Ed is willing to work with any of the participants who need assistance. And if they want to use, you know, if they plan to use the model, if they're making adjustments to the department's revenue requirements, Ed can give folks some assistance in how the model would work. So Ed, why don't you just fill in there?
Sure. Well, good afternoon, everyone.
Hey.
So we have the board has distributed a model as well as what we call a model outline. The model outline provides kind of line by line commentary and instructions on things that can be changed, things that are inputs from the department. And essentially how the model works. It's a simple model, but there's 7 pages worth of descriptions in there because we wanted to provide as much detail as we could. The idea behind the model is to give the board a tool to, if it decides to make changes to what the department is proposing, that it can see what the effects are kind of quickly and simply. Our caveats, of course, is that it's not cost of service, it's not determining the rates schedule or anything like that, but it does basically back calculate the changes in revenue requirements and what those percentages would equate to. We are scheduled tomorrow to meet with Rob and Lafayette virtually to walk through that. But as the chair indicated, happy to help anyone in terms of an overview of the model and how it works, give a little tutorial. Or if anyone has just a question or two about a feature of the model or can't seem to get it to work properly, or how do I do this, how do I do that, happy to do so. And I'm on the contact list. Either contact me by email or by telephone. My cell number should be part of that too, and we are happy to help out.
Could I ask a question here?
Sure.
Is it okay if participants contact you, Ed, with a question?
As long as the board is comfortable with that, happy to do so.
Are you? Yeah. I mean, is the board comfortable with that?
Yeah, I am. I think I can't speak for the whole board. I think that's part of the idea, is that if a participant wants to use the model, rather than, you know, spend, you know, 10 hours trying to figure out, you know, how to insert a new number, a call to Ed, I think would be okay. I think the model will be primarily be used by the public advocate, because the public advocate presents an entirely new, typically would present a new set of adjustments and revenue requirements. Other participants tend to maybe address one or two issues, but if they would like to use the model, then I would hope that they could call on Ed. Does anybody else have any objections or concerns about that?
I'm sorry.
I do. So, I mean, so long as it's reasonable, I think that you could have, we've had some participants or some folks who have been with us in the past who have not been reasonable. And I don't want Ed to be the one have to make that decision. I would like to put some limits around this in terms of reasonability, because I don't want I don't want time and energy wasted on something that's frivolous. So I would say that there needs to be a little bit of a clearinghouse on that, right, just to make sure that it's being used judiciously.
Yeah. That's a good point. I guess you're right. We certainly don't want to get out onto extraneous issues that aren't relevant to the rate proceeding and have Ed spending time trying to.
Is there a way, kind of to go along with what Abby just said, is there a way, if participants have questions, that some place, almost like a clearinghouse, some place all questions can be submitted and then kind of responded to those groups of questions, and maybe because there could be some duplicate questions of how to use the model or some of the outputs?
Right.
That's a good idea. And I would turn to Marcy. Would that be something that you could?
That would be me.
Okay.
Well, that was why I brought this up. If you wanted to go through me as opposed to them contacting Ed directly, I mean, I don't have any problem. That's why I didn't say in my email when I distributed the model, I didn't say if you have questions, talk to Ed.
Right. That's a really good suggestion. And especially you could say, if you have a question, put it in, send an email to me. And
I'll send it to Ed.
Right.
And it would be better if it's done in writing like that. Then Ed can address them.
If the department can, we'd like to join in on the conversation with Ed to have a more efficient exchange of ideas, perhaps, as opposed to asking separately. We'd like to understand also how the model works. So tell us when you'll be talking tomorrow, and if I can have someone available, Carl and I can join.
Defer to Ed and Rob on that.
I'm asking.
Yeah, I'm not. I mean, this we're just getting really to the mechanics of it, and sort of doing a walkthrough. And I'm not sure that it's really as important for the department to understand that it has its own model. Is the department planning on using Ed's model?
No, but I'm curious as to how it works. Okay. I mean, if there's a bar to our understanding, or maybe it's beyond me.
I don't think there's a bar to it. We're going to meet at 2:00 via Zoom, but we have 1 hour, and we want to make sure that we are productive in getting what we need out of it. So I'll just ask that you bear that in mind, since we have limited time and we have to do this for our testimony.
I understand, and I'm not verbose.
Yeah, and so, Rob, if we need more than an hour, happy to stay longer too. So. That's your call.
I'm hoping we don't.
Okay.
I'm really hopeful we don't need more than an hour to go through a spreadsheet, but especially something we've seen a little bit in the past.
Okay, well, I'll let you guys work it out then. But again, it's for the purpose
Ed,
of, it's the public advocate that has to get their testimony done using the model. So, sorry, Dan, did you have something to say?
Yeah, I just wanted to say, Ed, if it seems like you are getting inordinate requests, keep Sunny and me updated on hours or time, just so we can make sure we have enough money to pay you for it. So,
thank you. Always appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay, Andre or Rob, was there anything else you wanted to add in terms of how the rate proceeding is going?
No, nothing else. I think, as long as we're on schedule with TAPR and we can have those proceedings running in parallel, one on a glide path for settlement, hopefully, we should be fine. This should actually work.
Okay.
think we're doing okay. I'm having a little bit of difficulty with some of the spreadsheets on the Black and Beach SharePoint. They're hard to access and download, and everything has to be done one item at a time, and that's making it slower than I would like for it to be. But I think we are getting everything that we need. And Andrea and I are having some back and forth sort of informally to clarify where we may have some open issues on the discovery. So things are moving along, but it is a challenge.
If we can help in any way, sending something more directly by email, I've tried to attach the most recent attachments that were smaller to facilitate your getting that information and
that's
having
been
as
very
a,
helpful. Yeah, that's
and having
been helpful.
As a and having as a backup the SharePoint site. So if we can do a workaround to help you, we will.
Thanks.
Okay, Marcy, do you have anything else to add? And for the good of the
no, board? I just like to appreciate everybody working together. And like I said, there's a lot that goes. Like I'm thinking about the public hearings, especially. There is a lot of behind the scenes work that goes into making sure that there's adequate notice and that they run smoothly. And especially on Stephen's part. So if it doesn't work, we know who to blame.
Yeah, I take full responsibility if it doesn't work.
But I'm learning how to use breakout rooms and things like that. So for the hearing, so I think it's very interesting. And thank you, Stephen. I appreciate your help.
Of course. Happy to help. Let me know if you need anything.
And Stephen, one thing just a colleague mentioned, and I don't know if you've had this experience, but very early on in the pandemic, when we had an open Zoom meeting, we had all types of unsavory behavior by members of the public sort of coming in.
Everyone's muted by default, and I have to check and approve them in order for them to actually speak.
That's great, and hopefully you have the same control over visual depictions.
Hopefully. I have to double check that.
With people flashing signs and very unwelcome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I should check.
I like seeing, signs that are, meaningful to the subject matter, but those are usually the best public public input hearings we have when people show up with signs. I don't think it's necessarily as good in this environment.
True. Yeah, I'll make sure to check on that. Thanks for the heads up, Rob.
Yeah, okay. Does anybody else have any other issues to bring before the board?
Not right now.
Okay. I think our next meeting is April 14th. That's Wednesday, April 14th at 3 p.m. Again, I'm going to keep these meetings on the schedule because I'm sure there'll be a lot of, we'll have made a lot of progress by then, hopefully. And if there's nothing else, could I get ask for a motion to adjourn?
I could just, one point is that we do have, that is one of the potential days for the technical hearings on the calendar, April 14th. So just gonna reserve some space for Andre and I potentially to either not attend or be very tired.
Okay, well, and as you know, these meetings tend to be pretty fairly short. So, even if it is a half hour, but we don't really want to take time away from the technical hearings where the expert witnesses are online and whatnot. So let's keep that in mind, but thanks for alerting us to that.
Would you be open to perhaps changing the time if there's a conflict with the hearing date, maybe making this board meeting start at 3:30 or 4?
Does anybody object to that, a 4 o'clock meeting?
If necessary.
We could certainly tentatively, let's just try to keep that open because we've been able to keep these meetings to less than an hour. But let's, if you don't mind, if you could just pencil in on your calendar that we may need to start a little bit later on April 14th. That should give you enough time to finish the hearing. And if necessary, we can even change the date. But for now, let's just keep it on April 14th at 3 or 4 o'clock. Okay, is there anything else? Okay, is there a motion to adjourn?
Make a motion.
Okay, Rashea, any second? Sade, see? Okay, all in favor? Aye. Any opposed? No.
Yeah.
Meeting is adjourned, and everybody stay healthy, and see you all next month, if not sooner.
Take care.
Great. Thanks, everyone.
Take care.
Thank you, everybody. Yeah.